Peace of the Lord be with you. Hey, who enjoyed that Iron and Wine concert last night? Wasn't that just beautiful? It was fantastic. For the concert series people, thanks for bringing that, making that happen. Josh, that was great. Who's excited about the women's retreat coming on? And who's excited to have Kate Davilar as your pastor? I'll say this about Kate. Kate is a great pastor. We'll talk about that in a little bit more. But yeah, giddy up. Love the Kate. One announcement for the weekend. Sunday night, we have a memorial and celebration service for the life of David Otey. And whether you knew David or you did not, David was our people. And we were his. And as you grow up and you become adults, one of the things we do is we show up. And I just want to encourage everyone, whether you knew David or not, you show up on Sunday. Because David's our people. And we were his. And we loved him. And we are going to have a soulful celebration of a life that was well-lived. So I want to encourage everyone to come out to the gathering on Sunday. We'll have John Mundy, who was David's pastor in Kenya, will be preaching the gospel that night. But we need to come around with a great cloud of witnesses and remember our brother David, just as we did on Wednesday with Emma. You got to come out. It's good to have a people. There's lots of people in this room right now wondering whether Hope College should be their people. We want to welcome you to Hope College. Yes. We've also got the Board of Trustees in town, which is my boss's boss, so we definitely want to say hey. Right. Welcome, Board of Trustees. You may not know this about me. It's a little secret. Some of you might. But I see things. I see things with my eyes wide open that feel so real that I get lost in my head. It's like an alternative consciousness that I can kind of slip into. It can be mystical. Most of the time I'm full of it, but sometimes I'm not. I'll be sitting at the dinner table with my beloved Kristen, and she'll be talking to me about something very profound and meaningful to her, and I'll be listening, and all of a sudden, I just slip into a whole nother frame of reference and reality, and my eyes kind of glaze over, and I'm there, but I'm not there, but I'm there, and all of a sudden, I'll just see something out of the periphery of my eye. Hello? And then I'll get snapped back into my present circumstances. My beloved, who is a good person, likes to call this TW, Trigvi's world. I just kind of go there sometimes. I get lost along the way. Most of the time I'm in control of it, but sometimes I'm not, and it happens sometimes during the morning or the middle of the afternoon or late at night. Sometimes it happens when I'm up here preaching, which is always awkward because you guys just have to bear with me. Sometimes it happens in a meeting. Sometimes the visions that I see sometimes are so profound and beautiful. I see a Hope College where all things are knit together in justice and fulfillment and delight, where there is a depth of relationship and intellectual vigor and energy and passion for life that touches an ache deep in my soul. I see that in my vision. Sometimes the visions are ordinary. I'll be having a vision of just a conversation with Kate or with Paul with such intensity, and it feels so real in my mind that I actually start talking out loud, and Kristen will come in sideways from a room and all of a sudden ask, who are you talking to? There's no one else here. We like to call that leaking in my house. I just start talking to myself, and I actually am talking to them because my vision feels so concrete and has such texture that I can't help but talking out loud. Sometimes the visions are unsettling and frightening. I see it just about every day, like this one. It's just, you see this. Walk around campus, and I don't know if it's my alterness or if it's my real life. I see visions, which it fits my vocation as a pastor. A good pastor is somebody who can see visions, visions of an undefined future of hope. Good pastors are people who can see current situations and recognize that there is something more. But great pastors like Kate, like Paul, great pastors not only see visions of hope, but they can see the center and reality of hope. Great pastors not only see a vision, great pastors see reality. And I don't know about you, but what I've needed the last couple weeks is to attune my attention and my focus on reality. The deep down things. Sometimes we need help with that, which is why we go to a great pastor. Now, just a sidebar, I know that there are people in this room that are going to be great, great pastors for the Church of Jesus Christ. But we learn great pastors by being around them. And one of the people that I'm around is right there, John on Patmos. St. John is my mentor and my guide. He's who I go to when I need to attune and fix my attention to the center of hope, to reality as it is in the deep down things. St. John had that rare ability, unique gift to converge three unique ministries. John was a theologian. And John was a poet, and John ultimately was a pastor of his people. John was a theologian. John was somebody who fixed his attention on God. A theologian is somebody who trains their thinking, their imagination, and their understanding to focus and think about God, not themselves. John's imagination was saturated and baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he could not unleash his attention from the wonder and grandeur of God. Theologians are people intoxicated with the glory of God, and John was intoxicated. John was a theologian, but John was also a poet. John used language not only to communicate information. John used language to evoke in us something more, to be more. John used language, metaphor, and symbol in such a way that it alters our vision to see another kind of vision, and that's what great poets do. John was a theologian poet, but what guided was a life as a pastor. John lived his life in the confinement of his people. He was pastor of these seven churches. And what made him unique is that he had a vision not only to see the possibilities of hope for his people, but he could put that in a frame and context of reality. A reality where he knew that his people needed not just the atmosphere of religiosity, not just a subscription to religious virtues. He knew that what his people needed was not just a theological system or an idea, but what they needed was God. God alive, God present, God with them, God speaking, God healing. We don't need more information about God. What John knew as a pastor is that his people needed God. And a great pastor will point to a reality where we are allowed to see the governing dynamics of hope and call us into participate into that reality. That's what I learned from John. That's what we need. We don't need ideas about God. What we need is God. And John is somebody who sees a vision of that God, a vision of reality. Listen to this as John writes in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, beginning in verse 9 through verse 20. I, John, your brother, who share with you in Jesus the persecution and the kingdom and the patience was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day when I heard a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and finally to Laodicea. Then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands was one like the Son of Man, clothed in a long robe with a golden sash at his chest. His head and his hair were as white wool. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined as in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his hand, he held seven stars. And from his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining at full force. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he came and put his right hand on my shoulder and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first, and I am the last, and I am the living one. I was dead. But see, I am alive, and I have the keys of life and of death. So therefore, write what you see, what is and what is to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the lampstands are the seven churches." My people, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. John, a great pastor, sees things. John, a great pastor, is sharing the suffering of his people on the island of Patmos because of Jesus Christ and the testimony of the word. John, a great pastor, sees a vision not of the dead, but he sees a vision of the living Christ, whose eyes are like a flame of fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze, whose face is like the sun shining at full force. And when he sees him, no alternative but to adjust himself to its conditions, which is to fall at his feet as though dead. What he sees is a resurrected God. What he sees is a man who is also a king. What he sees is the resurrection of Jesus. And the word of that resurrection is that Jesus is alive. What John knows is what we need. We need not just veiled religiosity. What we need is the old theology and the old gospel that pivots off the bedrock of our hope. And the bedrock of that hope is not a theological system. It is a living God who is alive, breathing, speaking, calling, healing, interceding on our behalf right now. What John is communicating to the seven churches and to Hope College is that in the midst of the most grievous of circumstances, there is Jesus Christ who is alive. Yes, he was dead, but he is alive, and he is now calling us to believe the good news that we do not have to be afraid anymore. The good news of John's vision is a reminder that the greatest conquest of the world is to remember by the strength of Christ's cross and the resurrection that the world has been overcome. Jesus is still alive. Jesus is still alive here, still pouring out his Holy Spirit to draw us into communion with the Father. Jesus is still putting his healing hands on all those throbbing with grief. Jesus is alive. And if you believe this, deep in your heart, despite the harshest circumstances, then what you have is not only the possibility of a vision yet to be determined, what you have is the center of hope. This is the hope of the world. That the God who made the world and loved it so much that he entered into it and gave his life for it is still calling this world into his deep life of communion, of his life of love. This Jesus is still preaching hope, and it is this, that you and I never need to be afraid again. For in life and in death, we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. My friends, go in peace. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you Sunday.